I like the murky waters. I feel like the waters are pretty murky right now.
The waters are very murky. This is season 4, episode 17. And right before I hit record, you and I were talking about some stuff that, maybe shouldn't be recorded. And I think that's okay.
And we're still not sure.
That's why we're not going to talk about it.
But you have trained me well to sort of like, because often, I don't know who was saying this. Oh, my mom.
Oh.
my mom gets in on this without even realizing it. So her observing, I think she watches the YouTube version of this.
Okay.
And she commented on how, I forget what the comment was, but it had something to do with something about me not paying attention. Like I'm sort of looking down all the time. Like I'm not really,
oh,
right. That I'm sort of down and enjoying, but I mean, it's funny like that as a, I got nothing to share other than I'm drawing or doodling as we're talking. Right. Mm-hmm. But it is funny. Why did I mention that? The fact of it is that often I will say, because I'm looking down, I don't often pick up on the actual cue systems of our video. Like I almost am tripping back to what it means to just be in podcast mode.
Right.
Like you actually don't get to see the person. And I've said before, I deeply appreciate being able to see you. And I know there's times where you're just talking. You're kind of in video pod. You're in PodTuber mode where you're just talking. And we're blurring the lines between, is this something that's just a pure audio product? Or is this also a video product at the same time? Anywho, back to that whole me thinking that at any point, I figure I could look up and see that you've hit record, and I would just roll with that.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that.
And I trust you.
I'm happy that you trust me, but I'm a little bit worried about my judgment right now because I could have hit the button at any time when you were talking about our last topic.
Yep.
And even you said at one point, you're like, I don't know if I would say that on the podcast. And it wasn't anything really bad.
Well, I can drop. It was talking about.
I can drop.
I'll drop on it. Yeah. Because part of it is talking about, I mean, it was just a, you talk about the ethical standards and standards of practice from OCT. And often those are, when you have an infraction of that, an extreme, and you think about how the blue pages is the documentation of individuals really, really breaking those standards of practice in an extreme fashion. And I kind of put in there like wondering about what are some of the lower level ones where you are breaking that code of conduct or that trust that would never make it to the blue pages. And I think part of the challenge right now in moving to whatever these big digital spaces that people are moving back into in 2 days is I kind of put in there if your enforcement of digital learning makes learning precarious for a student, is that, you know, it could be in contravention of the standards of practice or the ethical standards of practice. But stuff like that never makes it to the blue pages. So that's where we kind of landed on. And I don't know, this is not me suggesting that abuse, which, you know, I don't think there's space to sort of debate the shades of abuse or the shades of inequity that would be measured by the blue pages. But the ethical standards of practice do make me reflective in thinking about, I guess one, it makes me think about how deeply have I sort of used those standards to drive my digital practice. I feel like somehow it's anchored, and inevitably it is. These are anchored in our face-to-face type learning. That's where they originated. That's where they originated. So to a degree, they are still kind of anchored there. We've added layers. We've added amendments to make them connect with added amendments to make them sort of like work with digital spaces. But I just called them up because I can never recall them specifically. So standards of practice, commitment to students and student learning, professional knowledge, professional practice, leadership and learning communities, ongoing professional learning. So those right away have very, very clear, I think, IRL implications. And you can do the descriptors underneath of it, underneath it. But I think that definitely there's some spaces here that are a deep, deep transition. I think especially right now, the standard of practice for professional knowledge and professional practice. And where I kind of perk up and start listening is when I see, and this is on socials, sometimes in conversation with colleagues too, where the language around how we work digitally is based on trying to make a home environment into a school environment. And I think that's where we lose traction and a little bit of where I would lose traction and credibility, because I don't know the life of the kid at home. And you have some of the stories some of the time, but you know, we never have a right to all of the story all of the time. So
this business of, this is why being at school is so important. It is, and I said this in March and April, being at school is different than being at home. Right away, the way you act, the way you dress, your attitude towards whatever's happening. Because when you're with your parents or your siblings or that environment, you operate differently, generally speaking. This takes me back to my studies in my master's degree. I specialized, what a dumb word. I had my focus near the end. My focus was about multicultural counseling. And it wasn't multicultural as in big C culture. It was small C culture, understanding where people are, what they do, what gets them going, what upsets them. When you look at home versus school, the actual physical school versus the physical home, there are so many small C cultures in both places. Mm-hmm. When a child is in my presence, they're going to operate differently than when they're not in my presence, generally speaking. Generally speaking, my children at home act one way, that in a way that they would never act at school or with their teachers, generally speaking. The minute you take that away and you don't, people are not factoring that into any of this. I said to my wife, I said, what are we going to do when little Johnny, sorry for all the Johnnies out there, when little Johnny won't stop talking into the mic, and you've asked little Johnny a dozen times politely to mute the mic, and even you've muted his mic, and he continues. Now in the classroom, well, what do? So in the classroom, you could just ignore it. So that's what I usually do. I just ignore it and I keep moving and I do my best. As kids are looking at Johnny, waiting for me to answer Johnny, I literally have said from time to time, I don't hear anybody talking. So why are we all staring at Johnny? I'm right here. And then like, okay, we're going to go with the flow. There's all kinds of, there's nuance. There's small C culture. There's so much going on that you, like you said, we don't know. Some of the kids in my class, I know what their life is like outside of school. And when I say that, I mean like I'm privy to some information around how they're living at home. It's not conducive to sitting in front of a computer all day doing schoolwork. That's mm-hmm. why they come to school. So there are two things I can do there. I can scream on the mountaintop about this issue, and all it's going to do is bring me grief, right? It's going to cause people to feel uncomfortable. Because there's different types of people, some people are going to hit back on me. Like there's a number of things that are going to happen to me. Or I can take it into consideration and I can adjust my way of dealing with Johnny online. And I think that's the route I'm taking. So there's a lot of people who right now are very bothered or distracted by how we're going to perform this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really getting into the headspace of I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to prepare some lessons and some things for my students to work on and to learn, and I'm just going to go with the flow. And there's not much more I can do. That's the other thing too. Like, there's a lot of layers in my life that come into play, right? The things I've read and where I'm at right now in my life. And I'm not going to hammer these kids. Like, my wife and I, we've been talking the past couple of days and experimenting with technology to figure things out. And her school's a totally different place than my school. Totally. So, you know, we're talking about, like, we were talking about the admin assistants at our school. When we mark a kid absent on Monday morning because they don't have the technology, or they're just dazed and confused, and they're living in another world, they don't know what's going on in Education Ontario, those admin assistants are going to have to call their house and say, hey, teacher marked you absent this morning. And then have that conversation about, oh no, we started school again today and it's online and da, 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 da. Right? And then there's the whole dance with the admin assistants. There's a whole dance. I'm sure I'll get an email and say, you know, Jimmy's mom says you didn't tell anybody you were online. And like, it's going to happen. And mm-hmm. So I could get really upset about it, or I can just let it roll off and move on. And that's the approach I'm going to take. Because yeah, last night my wife and I were experimenting. We were freezing up on each other. We're in the house. We got the strong Wi-Fi. And we're freezing up, and we're two teachers. There's not 20 kids in the room trying to learn a lesson. So there's a lot of layers, and it's the nature of teachers, in my opinion, to do their absolute best all the time and to solve the problems before they happen, because that's kind of how we've been trained, and you just can't do that here. I mean, you can try, but your internet connection can be great Monday. Well, hold on. You've been teaching remotely half mm-hmm. your day. So this is, you're just going with the flow. I'm not going with the flow. And like we said last week, for all the memos that have been written on what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it, doesn't matter whether I've read the memo. It's what matters is when I put it into action. So right now I'm already looking at these memos and I'm like, okay, this is actionable. And oh, this is going to be a problem. Just because of the nature of my class, even though we've been working, I've been doing everything I've been told to do, and still not going to give me a smooth ride. It's going to be a rough ride still. Some would argue it's going to be smoother than had I not prepared my students. Okay, that's fine. But you know how many times in class a kid said to me, I don't know what to do here. And I just look at them and I'm like, we've only done this about 50 times already.
Well, and that's a little bit of that. There's the grace that has to be extended over that whole moment, because that moment of a child not knowing what to do is so loaded, because if the item is right in front of them, it could be they don't know how to find it. If the item is right in front of them, it could be that they don't know how to read it. If the item is right in front of them, they might not know where to click or navigate it. If the item isn't in front of them, then it's a different, you know what I mean? Working with the teacher candidate, we were really fortunate in that we started completely digital. And so Miriam, the teacher candidate I was working with, she was constantly in this state of being mind blown that, the kids would just instantly disconnect or kind of reveal that they're disconnected. And we started talking about the Where's Kevin factor. Did I tell you about this? Where's Kevin?
Yeah,
Where's Kevin? And for anyone just listening in, the Where's Kevin factor is that Home Alone effect where, you know, all those plans, all those hustled plans that the families went through, just contentious issue, but I think number two is better than number one. Number three and four, Home Alone, don't bother unless you get a cheap DVD package, which we did. Anyways, but all the plans that are made and the assumption that everyone's on board and the observation that the system is working is exactly, that's a grace moment that we really need to kind of settle into. Again, if you are reconnecting with your March 13th self, then finding that grace is really important. If you're continuing with your March 13th self, then maybe it's just you need to kind of just brush up on it and sort of look back on some of your lesson design. Because the truth of it is, the thing that Miriam was mind blown about, she's like, we're in the middle of a lesson. And then all of a sudden a student just opens up their mic and says, what are we doing? And that's the where's Kevin effect, where you get blind, you blindly assume that everyone is engaged. Now this can happen in class too. Don't get me wrong. This has happened to me in class as well, where you get swept up in the energy. You lose your sort of like superpower of objectivity, and you become part of the experiment. So you don't use your observational tools or your assessment tools to sort of figure out whether or not every kid is kind of like has a hand on the lesson. So this is going to happen again and again, again and again. And we can spend time talking about, well, how do we do better or do more to make sure that doesn't happen? I think a better space might be, how is it that we let ourselves go from that accountability, recognizing that it's a squirrel you're never going to catch. Never, ever, ever.
So having said all that.
Yeah, it was a lot, sorry.
No. I'm just saying it's like there are layers. There are layers, and nobody's talking about the layers. Number one, we don't have time. When are my staff and I going to sit down and talk about the layers of remote learning? Again, it's not emergency, but it's also not, it's not emergency, but it's stuff you need to consider, right? I don't know, this business of, even the business of, okay, we're going right from the school to remote, and we're going to just keep our schedules all exactly the way that they are. There's nuance there. There's all kinds of things in the in-between that happen. It's just, I'm trying not to get too worked up around it, because it just, there's so many things going on. It's just different from the class. That's all, you know. Yep,
absolutely.
We have a good friend, Tim's in. He says, good morning, fellas. Welcome back to the Decoded Podcast. TC, I have to say, well, Tim asked how long we were staying in distance learning. I told him that we were told just this week.
But I'm in till...
Chris thinks it's happening till the end of the year.
Well, not just that, but technically, yes. Tim, yes. My call is that we're back in and buckle in. So that's my, from the moment that I got it in my head that we were going to break, as in the winter break, I have always carried with me that if we take a break, then I need to start mapping out. I need to start mapping out, or at least considering what life, what my courses and what my practice will look like, not going back to school. Like that. But on a technical level, secondary for us, I think it's until January 21st. Right. Like guaranteed, we're in that zone until that time. So
yeah, so high school is basically the month.
Yeah.
Basically. And then elementary is just this week, but there are other factors at play. Clough, every time, it's funny too, I told my wife yesterday, I said, I explained how you think we're just done. And every time I tell somebody that, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, my buddy Chris, he's just mentally in his mind. We're not going back to brick and mortar school.
Well, until the science supports it. Like, this is the thing. This isn't me. I'm not doing abstract on it. But if the factors, it may feel, well, so here's the thing. Yeah, it was stunning because this conversation started with my spouse. And she asked me, she did it as a what if. So when it was announced, it was a, well, what if? What if this goes longer? And I'm like, dude, I'm already longer. As soon as the, in my mind, I was thinking, if they make this announcement, we're not going back. Because part of making that announcement would be based on the science. And if the science is saying that the numbers are climbing, whether or not we understand what the vectors are, but if the science is sparking up, if there's anything in our political, in our politicians' agenda, that this is a response to the science, and the, you know, jury's still out on that. But if there is anything that's a technical scientific reasoning for taking this break, then yeah, we're not going to be back in there. It just, it can't, according to the science. We can't be back in that space. So
that's where we're at. And Tim was saying to the "Where's Kevin" effect, are you required to teach synchronously? And the answer is yes. So I don't know what
part of it. So wait, so Tim, where's he out in? Is he out in Alberta?
I think it's BC.
In BC. So it's interesting that synchronously means different things in different spaces, right? So synchronously can have one of two meanings, as far as my understanding. Synchronously can be my school board right now, my school board, we do have synchronous teaching, but we also have cohorts. So for Tim and for others, we have cohorts. So we have cohort A and B. So basically your classroom would be split into halves. Two halves. You say two halves? Yeah, I guess you split into two halves. And then they would alternate. So we have A day and B day. A day, B day. And those aren't by alpha, it's just you have two of them. So on the days where you are working with cohort A, the cohort B is at home and participating in activities that are offered it could be assigned ahead of time, but they're participating in activities, but they're not directly participating in the classroom experience. And then it flips. On the B day, the A are doing activities, but they're not participating directly in the classroom experience. Now, depending on Tim's interpretation, others' interpretation of synchronously, it can also mean that while a student is at home, let's say it's still in the same cohort style, that the students at home are trying to participate in the live feed of the classroom. And this is something that I believe Catholic system flipped into. Am I correct? I think this happened in Ontario, where at least in Peel, one of the regions did synchronous in-class and out-of-class teaching, where the teacher, while they're in class, has their laptop open, or they have their GoPro facing themselves on some sort of a whatever it is, and they're teaching to the kids at home at the same time that they're teaching to the kids in the classroom. So depending on what Tim's perspective, and it changes, right, province to province, what that synchronously means. Synchronously for me means that synchronously for me means that while the kids are online, you are live there with them online. It doesn't mean that while they're at home, you are also teaching to them live while they are at home.
And in an elementary context, so for me, of the 300 minutes, I have to teach synchronously for 225 minutes. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm like this face to face with the camera for the whole time. It just means that while I'm online, they're online, and I could be doing small group activities, or like kids are working asynchronously, but I'm available to them. Yes. So that would count as synchronous. And so in my mind, what it's going to look like when I start this week is I do a lesson, and then the students do a work task or some kind of, they work on something, and I'm there. Yep. And I'm answering questions, but I'm not the sage on the stage at that moment in time. And then there'll be times where, you know, I'll say to them, okay, for the next 35 minutes, this is what you're working on. And it's not going to be, I'm not here live. like I'm going to be floating. I need to meet with three kids. So I'll message those three kids in the next 30 minutes while everybody's doing this. I'm here, but it's just like at school, Well, you're all working on something and I go over to talk to Jane. And then after I conference with her, I go over and talk to Tim. And then I go over to Chris and then I bring the whole class back together again.
Yep.
So that's what's going to happen this week.
And that's similar. That's similar to kind of how I've been running the, the hybrid system that we've been doing. Very, very similar. So that's not new space. So when I talk about having to get back in touch with my digital self, I was all digital self back in March. I haven't completely let go of my digital self. So that could be the wisdom in our adaptive system where we have a blend of face-to-face and digital learning for all students. I don't know. I know I still have those tools are still sharp for me. So as far as my design moving forward, there are things, like I was explaining to you about some, using a specific tool or app or game that normally that I've been using when my, because right now one of the sections of the course that I'm working with is in face-to-face mode. We'll be in face-to-face mode for the first week back, but we don't have face-to-face mode. So that 225 minute long period is going to be a digital period now, whereas just before the break, it was a face-to-face period. So there's elements of it that obviously, like you said, I'm not going to be teaching at them. Am I going to be available to them? Absolutely. I just have to figure out basically what it comes down to for me, that the one thing I have to figure out is what's the check-in model. So what'll be the check-in model? Because the activities that I have, I can shift them to pure digital. But what'll be the check-in model for both of us? So how am I checking with the kids and what am I going to ask them to do to be able to check in with me? And that's how we're going to do the week.
See, what's really cool, and I'm going to tell my kids this on Monday, for example, when we do writing, the whole thing is layered, right? The whole thing is planned out in terms of first I provide them with information. So it's all me really. And then it's me and them, and then it's them, right? Like, so there's that gradual release of responsibility. And I'm going to tell them the same thing on Monday. When I give you a task, you're going to do your best to work on it. And you're going to use the same strategies you use in class when I'm not available to help you. It's going to be the exact same thing. And you're going to have to be patient, because just like at school, I can't bring six kids together anymore like I used to pre-COVID. I deal with you one-on-one and or small groups, but in a very open way, because I have no way of bringing you close enough together for me to shift off to a corner kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell them the exact same thing's going to happen in the digital world. The only difference is you're at home working on a computer and I'm at my home working on my computer. But when I message you and say, hey, jump back into the Google Meet, we're meeting, I want to see your work and I want to talk to you about your work, give you feedback, you're like, I expect you to move just like we do in the class. And this is where I think just things shift, because again, small C culture. Like my wife and I have been preparing both of our boys over the last couple of days on what this looks like now that we're all home together. So I think I'm going to be working in here. So I can't have my son walking in here every 5 seconds asking me a question. You know, my wife has said the same thing to the boys. I mean, here and there, like when we have recess or whatever, I'll get up out of my chair and maybe use the bathroom like I normally would, or check in with the kids to see how they're doing. But it's like we're trying to eliminate the small C culture stuff of the home, because it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And then on top of all that, we have four people who are all going to be synchronous at the same time. that's going to take its toll. I don't care what people say. You know, these face-to-face meetings on Google Meet and stuff, it eats up broadband pretty good. And there's going to be four of us doing it. So I suspect it's going to hit the fan. I'm not sure how long it'll be before it's going to hit the fan.
We boosted. We boosted. So we invested. We are now paying for the best possible product from Rogers.
Dude, so, I may be one under that. And it's still supposed to be good. But it doesn't work the way... Here's the other thing. Let's talk computer language for a minute. They never give you what they say they're giving you. They tell you you're getting something, and then after it's filtered through and gets to you, it never works the way it's supposed to.
Well, this is why I use the language of the best. I can't buy a better product. Whether it is the better whether there is a better product out there, or I'm actually getting what I'm paying for, I can't pay Rogers any more money. Maybe that's what it comes out. I can't. There's no other price point above what I'm paying right now. So,
but my point is that they're best. That's fine. I'm glad that you did what you could. I'm glad that you can afford to do that. But their best is still not going to be good enough for four people working simultaneously, pushing the internet limits of it. The way that it's being pushed.
And I mean, the litmus there is that if there are issues, and I do have the privilege to be able to pay for a better version of it, then the truth of it is like you're not setting any exemplar for your students, the students and the families. There's no, this is, you know, that idea, like if I'm budgeting to be able to pay for this supposedly better internet product, like there's no way that all of the families that I work with are doing the same thing. So you right away know that, well, that's cool, Clough. That's good for you. But 30% of your students are, you know, on the basic Wi-Fi, or 25% of your students are going to Tim Hortons to use their Wi-Fi because there is no Wi-Fi in the house. And there's three or four kids at home all doing learning from home. So that's, I do have students that don't use the Wi-Fi at home. They will go out for a walk. They will go to, you know, somewhere local to use it. Not libraries, but sort of like near McDonald's or near Tim Hortons.
And I know some of my educator colleagues are going to work.
Because the internet is theoretically more stable there, right?
Well, not necessarily. Actually, they didn't even talk about the internet. Their thing was, I need to separate home from work.
Yeah.
And so they said, if I go into work and I'm at my desk with my computer, I mean, you're right. The internet is, see, school internet, wired school internet is like, it's not residential internet. It's hardcore industrial. So you're getting like, that's the fire hose there. Whereas at home, you got the hose in the backyard and you turn on the water and the pressure is not always that great. But at school, it's a fire hose. So
I will tell you, I've had issues at school. Funny you should say that.
Or wired? Yeah,
both. The last day of school. And it's just, you know, I'm not, this isn't sour grapes, but the last period. So my period that was the last period of Learning Strides I was working with, my tech completely crashed. It couldn't pick up the Wi-Fi signal, wasn't stable. The hard line wasn't stable. I did nothing. I didn't even change rooms because I stayed in the actual classroom that I had just done my face-to-face and then did my other section of students. And my teacher candidate was one classroom over, and her tech worked fine. And she was running off of Wi-Fi. So like I was literally one classroom over. So this did happen. And again, no sour grapes, but it's just a fact of the matter. I wasn't able to actually close out well with my one period of students. And that bothered me on a personal level. Right, just to be able to sort of have that those last connections before the break, that did bother me on a personal level. But on a professional level, That's what happens. That's what we're in the middle of. That's what's actually happening right now. So for me, would I say that I have any assurance that the tech works better at school? Nope, I don't. I don't have any belief that that's a truth.
Well, generally speaking, here it has, generally speaking. So anyway, I know people that want to separate home from school. But they're not both teachers. The parents at home. So for example, when I first heard that we possibly might be doing remote teaching learning again, and that schools would be open, I came home and I said to my wife, "Is this awesome? I'm going to go to school every day." And she's like, "You are?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, that means I'm at home with both the boys." So right away it was like well, I guess I'm not going to school every day, because I would have loved, because I have everything there. If I need to make a copy of a piece of paper to put under the document camera to show my kids, I have that technology there. It's all at my fingertips, right next door to my room. Mm-hmm. With nobody else in the building. So nobody's using the technology. Nobody's using the equipment. Well, so we're going to see how this week goes. And if this week stretches into more time, then I'm going to talk to my wife and say, can we work out a schedule? Can I go to school some mornings? Because I just, the separation would be good for me. And it obviously the option's open to her too, but you reduce a lot of issues that way, in my opinion, because you get up, you follow a routine, you get to work, you start your day, you're in the environment of that day that you normally be in, and you just do your job, you go with the flow, right? Okay, mm-hmm. We need to shift to this. I literally turn it around, grab it off my shelf, and I can show them something or direct them to something that's right there at my fingertips. They told us to bring stuff home. I brought some stuff home, but I didn't bring everything home. Nobody did. Well, I'm assuming nobody brought everything home, but my point is that it would be easier. Now, I know some of my colleagues don't like that. They want to be at home. That's fine. I'm glad that they have the option there for if you want to go to school, you can. And if you want to stay home, you can. My life right now means I need to be at home because I have two kids. And my wife's a teacher. So, but I'd rather go to school because everything's there. Everything's there. I don't need to bring anything home. I can separate home from school. At the end of the day, I can say to my kids, okay, great day. You're dismissed. I'll see you tomorrow morning. And close my assessment evaluation binder, put it behind me on the shelf, get in the car and go home. I'm done mm-hmm. for the day. But I can't do that here. So we'll see. We'll see. Right now, it's my principal emailed us yesterday with some instruction and some understanding. And he made a very good point. He said, for now, we are focused on 5 days of school. Whatever you think is going to happen next is what you think. There's nothing official. For now, it's only 5 days. So let's focus on getting through these 5 days. Let's focus on being open to what's going to come our way. And then we'll deal with the rest if and when it changes. And I do agree with that. It's important to be present. I'm done thinking about what if. We've talked about the what ifs. I need to focus on this week. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plan for this week. And we'll see how it goes. How many glitches do we have? How many smooth times do we have? Whatever. You know, if kids are losing their minds, then I got to back off and I got to deal with that, right? Just like I would at school. Back off of the curriculum and focus on the kids. What's going on? What's the problem? Let's talk about it. Let's work it through. But hey, school has been slowed down. My classroom is like, you know, before we were running at, you know, 98% efficiency, it dropped to like a good 50%. And then we were able to probably get it back up to like, I don't know, 75. Now it's going to drop again. And it's disheartening to me as an educator that the gears I keep shifting are like wrecking my engine. And I don't mean my engine. I mean the engine of the machine. I can't get as much done as I used to because I'm shifting. I'm constantly figuring out what works, what doesn't work. And when you do that, that's great. People tell you that's great. but they don't talk about the inefficiency of that. It's not efficient because you're constantly shifting. And when you're constantly shifting, you're not mastering anything. You're surviving. That's what I'm doing. I'm surviving. And you know how many times right before Christmas break, I call it Christmas break, you call it winter break because of our context, but right before Christmas break, I gave the kids some fun activities. And you should have seen them. They were getting up a lot more and going to other people's desks. And I was like, a couple times I stopped everything. I'm like, stop. They all looked at me. I said, what are you doing? Why are you out of your desk? Why are you out of get back to your workstations? It sounded like I was from the Jetsons or something. Get back to your workstations. Do not get up and walk around. Nothing has changed. COVID is still here. All the precautions and everything we're doing to stay safe, all that's still here. Stop getting up. Well, I wanted to show my friend my work. No, you're not showing your friend your work. Sit down. And they're looking at me like, why are you being like this? I said, why am I being like this? It started on the first day of school. We're all still wearing our masks. If I can't have you come to me and sit with me in a group or on the carpet, you're not going to visit your friend. It's that simple. They were pissed because they're like, but we're having fun. We're doing this. We're doing that. And the Christmas music is on. I'm like, yeah, we're not going near anybody. It was just interesting. They were like ready to revolt. And I kind of chuckled and thought, kids, I've been ready to revolt since the first day of school. You just got to keep going.
Yeah.
I know you're sensitive for time today, Clough, and the time,
what time is here. It?
It's 10:01.
Oh, my God.
This is season 4, episode 17. I'm Roland Chidiak. He's Chris Clough. Clough, what did you draw today? A jar that says decoded multivitamins, and I can't read the rest because it's so small. Multivitamins, ingredients, serenity, courage, and wisdom. Nice. Now, you see, Mrs. Clough, you don't have to get upset with your son because when he wasn't paying attention to me, or when it appeared that he wasn't paying attention to me,
see, that's drawing that work. There's the grace, right? There's the grace. Go ahead. Call out Clough. Do it, kids. Call me out. Call me out. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, there's my learning. That's happened. That's totally happened, right? That's happened to you. You call out the kid that you think is like somewhere just not there, and they come back and they recount exactly not only the ninja stuff, and this is the thing where this is my son. Not only will he recount what you said, but he'll recount what he did with it. And you just kind of go,
right.
Can't make you be like me and use eye contact and head nodding and all those gestural stuff that sort of indicates the social norms of I'm in the room and I'm learning from you. You're doing your independent learning in the space while other people are doing social learning. So
the idea that your mom watches this, now I feel like I'm at your place.
Her name's Lucy. You want to throw down and say hello?
Hi, Lucy. But you know what's funny about that?
Right.
My mom's name is Lucy.
Nice.
So we could be talking to each other's moms, but I feel like I'm at your house. I feel like I had to take my shoes off before I came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mrs. Clough, can I have a snack? Is it okay? Can I have something?
Yep. Walk to the fridge. I'm always like, walk to the fridge, grab something.
Okay. Thanks for this, Clough. It was good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021.
Right, where we didn't even get to talk about what I wanted to talk about, how 2021 is going to cure all our ails. But maybe next week, unless I've lost my mind this week.
We could do that. I think that'll be cool to sort of land back on that. And because right now everyone's in a little bit of the honeymoon stage of believing that 2021 is the
it's our savior.
It's going to save us, right? So I think coming back next week. And maybe thinking a little bit about how 2020 is still here. Never actually left the room.
Just like it's still March 13th.
Yeah. It's the Where's Kevin moment. You thought everyone had left the class and you realize one of the kids, because I did have, okay, so here's the perfect. So here's a Where's Kevin part two. So I have had also the 2.0 version of Where's Kevin is you make it to the end of class, AKA 2020. And I left the way that our courses work is that even so during the online version, the last 10 minutes of the class, like of the period, so these are 50 minute periods, the online stuff. The last 10 minutes, the students can leave the Google Meet or the Zoom and just work independently. So often I would stay in the classroom and I'd be kind of working on something, writing something down, maybe typing something out. Sometimes students would come back in and just say, hey, I've got a question about whatever, and they would leave the class again. I can't tell you, several times students that had left the Google Meet like partway through the class, and I just kind of make a note, like, you know, watch for patterns kind of a thing, and they'll come back 20 minutes afterwards. Like, I'm in my prep period, but I've left the classroom open. And they're like, oh, is class over? Like, they've actually been, class is done 10, 15 minutes. They're actually supposed to be in their next class, but they come back in and like, oh, is class still over? So that's what I'm thinking 2020 is going to do. I think 2020 is going to be the student that checks back into 2021, 10 to 15 minutes after the day is done, and watching for those moments, right? Watching for those moments, because there's some learning there to be done. Like, if that consistently happens, if 2020 keeps checking in when they should have moved on to the next class, then we're going to have to deal with that.
We are.
As always, thanks for decoding with me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for pod tubing today.
Pod tubing. Cheers.
See ya.